Welcome to a special message by Frank McLean. Now, the son of Liberty. Take the title, What is God?
Thank you, Pastor Chuck. If we could just bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that every word that is spoken will be to lift up the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You, Father, for this day. We pray for each one that has come. And Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit will touch the hearts of these men today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm from a little area in the western part of North Carolina, a place called Boone, North Carolina. And the work that God has called me to is a work called Samaritan's Purse and World Medical Missions. And what we do with these organizations is we try to take the wars of this world, the famines of this world, and we try to use them as stepping stones from which to preach and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe if someone is hurting and they're down in the ditch along life's road and you stop and help them, they're going to listen to what you have to say. They're interested. Why have you stopped when everybody else has gone on? And it gives us an opportunity to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I want to take the next few moments, and my focus is taking opportunities. And all of us here have opportunities from time to time in life where we can share our faith in Jesus Christ. And the passage of Scripture I want to look at is in Matthew chapter 14. We see in the first part of the chapter that John the Baptist is arrested. He is beheaded. And in verse 13, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14, it says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. Give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Here we see that Jesus had compassion on these people. He healed their sick. He cared for them. And it's interesting that as it was getting late, the disciples' reaction was, let's get rid of these folks. What are we going to do with them? Let's send them away. Let them go into the town so they can buy something to eat. They didn't want to mess with them. They didn't want to fool with them. But we see that Jesus took the initiative, and that Jesus took the bread and the fish and he broke them. He gave thanks, and people were satisfied. And there are three truths that I want to look at this morning. First of all, Jesus had to come physically to this earth. Jesus was there in person. He was physically there. And you see, it was Jesus that took the initiative. It wasn't the disciples. The disciples' reaction was, let's get rid of these folks. Let's don't get involved with them. It's over our head. We can't feed them all. It's too many for us. Let them go into the villages and take care of themselves. Let them fend for themselves. But you see, Jesus was there personally, and Jesus took the initiative. And we see when Jesus took the bread and he broke that and began to give it to the disciples for them to give away, a miracle took place. Everyone that was present was satisfied. What does this mean for us today? Jesus was there. He took the initiative and he broke the bread. And for us today, I believe we need to be physically present in a world that's hurting, in a world that's dying, a world that is separated from God, a world that is heading to hell. I believe we've got to be physically present in places so that we can present Jesus Christ, so that we can preach the gospel. We've got to take the initiative. You see, God sent His Son Jesus Christ to this earth. God took the initiative. The world wasn't crying out, oh, send someone to save us. But God took the initiative. He sent Christ. Christ came to this earth physically. He was physically present. And His body was broken on the cross. And for everyone who puts their faith and their trust in Him will be satisfied for eternity. God took the initiative. And friends, I believe that we should take the initiative and we should go to the far corners of this world to preach and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. The work that God has called me to, we work in war areas, as I shared with you a moment ago. A couple of years ago, I got a phone call, and this was during the war in Central America. And I had a Contra general call me. And he asked if we would be willing to send some doctors to work in a Contra military hospital in Honduras. Now, this was the time that Oliver North was in the news. And I thought to myself, boy, heaven help us. Get down there and get involved with them, and then I'm going to be in the news. No way. So I thought, well, I'm going to stall this guy. And I just said, well, sir, you know, we feel sorry for you folks, and I wish we could help. And I thought that he would probably be from a Roman Catholic background. And I thought, well, I'll just make him think that I'm some kind of crazed evangelical. You know, he won't want me. So I just said, hey, listen, you know, first of all, we don't send doctors, just any doctors. We send evangelical Christian doctors. And these men like to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they want to work with your men and tell them about Christ, and I'm not sure you want this kind of help. And this man, to my surprise, said, oh, absolutely, this is what we're looking for. And boy, I thought, gee, how do I get out of this one? So I said, sir, I said, you know, I hate to say this, but we don't go to places unless I have been there personally to see the work so that I can refer this to the physicians. We do not like to ask doctors to go at their own expense anywhere unless I have been there first and have seen it and can recommend it. He said, well, Mr. Graham, when can you come? And I said, well, sir, my schedule is full, and it may be a couple of months before I get there. He said, we will wait. So I said, okay, well, I'll give you a call. Well, about a month or two later, he called me. Are you coming? And so my prayer was, Lord, you know, if this isn't your will, get me out of it. I don't want to get involved in a war and in a conflict that I have nothing to do with. But if you're in this, then you need to make it clear to me. And I don't know what the doctrine of fleeces is okay. I think we've all probably used a fleece from time to time. And I kind of laid out a fleece. Lord, if you want us to get involved, I need a Hispanic-speaking evangelist. Somebody who can go with us and proclaim the gospel in the Spanish language. I don't have that gift. I don't speak Spanish. I wish I did. But my prayer was, Lord, send somebody who can go with us to proclaim the gospel if this is your plan. Well, the time came and we went to Honduras and landed at the airport, and this general met me. And he had some of his aides, and they were dressed in their fatigues. And this guy looked like a Fidel Castro. He had a beard, and he wore just a t-shirt and green khaki pants and army boots and an army hat. And he was a pretty tough fellow. I kind of liked him. He looked like Dennis Agajanian a little bit. So we drove out into the jungle, and a couple of people were in the car. And I didn't say too much. I was afraid, to be honest with you, to say anything. I was praying, God, get me out of this. And so I talked to the general a little bit. He was in the front seat, and I didn't pay much attention to the man who was sitting beside me in the back seat of the station wagon. And we had now traveled about 3 hours. And I turned to this fellow, and I thought he was either a Nicaraguan or a Honduran. And I asked him, I said, what is your name? He said, my name is Reuben. Oh, I said, you speak English? He said, oh, yes. I said, well, Reuben, what part of Nicaragua are you from? He said, oh, my brother. About brother. He said, I'm from Dallas, Texas. I said, Dallas? I said, what do you do in Dallas, Reuben? He said, I'm a Southern Baptist evangelist. I said, well, Reuben, what are you doing? He said, well, I had a little Southern Baptist church a few years ago in Texas, and it wasn't going anywhere, and I just prayed that God would use me and send me to a place where no one else wanted to go. And he said, you know, Franklin, he said, God opened the door here among the Contras. And he said, I've been holding services in the camps, and we lead people to Christ every night. And I turned to him, and I said, Reuben, if I bring doctors down here, and we work in these hospitals, will you go with them, and will you present Jesus Christ to these soldiers we operated on? He said, I would count it a privilege. And so God opened the door for Reuben, and we sent doctors down there. And during the course of that year, we saw a number of those soldiers come to faith in Jesus Christ. And I got another phone call from this general. He said, Mr. Graham? I said, yes, sir. He said, thank you for those doctors. Oh, you're welcome. He said, we'd like to start a chaplain's corps in our army. Would you be willing to help us set up a chaplain's corps? I said, you mean like army chaplains in the Contra Army? He said, yes. I said, but we're evangelicals. I said, the chaplains we would train would be evangelicals. Is that a problem? No, we want that. We went to to Honduras, to the Nicaraguan border. I took Dennis Agajanian with me. Took some other men, Reuben. And over the course of the next 8 months, we trained 140 chaplains. Raul Ruiz went down there. Had a great time. And Raul Ruiz, you know, he does that kung fu business. They thought it was fantastic. Matter of fact, they wanted to enroll him in the army. And I think he would have done it. I think he came that close. But here's the interesting thing. This army, they go through the ranks, each company, each battalion, and they point to a person and say, okay, you be chaplain, okay, you be chaplain, okay, you be chaplain. We've got 100 and some cutthroats. None of them know Christ. None of them have ever heard the gospel. It took 2 months every day proclaiming Jesus to them, telling them, and giving an invitation, an altar call, and one here, and the next day a couple here, and the next day a few more, and then those that gave their lives to Christ, and as they began to grow in the Word, and they began to share their faith with others, and within several months, these men and women all came to faith in Christ. And we began to work with them and train them. And the head contraman, the head of the chaplain's corps, was a man by the name of Hitler. And every person in the Contra Army had a nickname. Just in case they were caught by the Sandinistas, they couldn't find out who their real identity was. So they all had nicknames. His name was Hitler because he was an executioner and he loved his job. And one day we were introducing Hitler to come make announcements. Hitler, okay, it's time for you. Will you come make the announcements? And he would come up and make announcements. This day he said, no. My name, no more Hitler. Okay, and next day, okay, now Hitler's going to come make announcements. No, my name is not Hitler. Oh, well, that's what we've been calling you for the last several months. What's your name? He said, my name is Lazarus. He said, I've been raised from the dead. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is God's power. It's not the good works we do. It's not the money we give away. It's not our check account. It's the gospel. That is God's power. And I thought about Lazarus. And I thought about this man. I thought about his life that has changed. A man who was an executioner. A man who was a jungle fighter. But the gospel, God's power, changed that man's life. And I thought about, we've got to take the initiative. We've got to go to places. We've got to be physically present. We couldn't have started that work among the Contras by telephone from North Carolina. No, we had to go. We actually had to go to the jungle. Raul had to go. All of us, we had to go. Dennis, we had to go. We had to be physically present among them to have a ministry with them. You've got to take the initiative in life. You just can't sit back and wait for somebody else to do it. You do it. You go. You can do something. And let God work through you. The gospel is God's power. And what is the gospel? It's the good news that God loves sinners like Franklin Graham. It's the good news that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to die on a cross for me. It's the good news that God will forgive me. It's the good news that I can have eternal life by faith if I'm willing to accept the work of the cross. It's the good news. The gospel, the message of the cross, the good news is God's power for the salvation of everyone who believes. But friends, we've got to be physically present in places in life. We've got to take the initiative and we've got to lift up Christ. And as people come to Christ, they will be satisfied for eternity. This time last week, I was in Croatia, and I've been four times to Bosnia this year. Probably one of the most difficult places on earth I've ever been. Been to Mogadishu twice. I've been in the Sudan this year. All of these places, we have teams working, providing medicine. In Mogadishu, we went in after December. We did a survey, and on January the 1st, we had a medical team there. And since then, we have been able to treat close to 50,000 people in our clinics, in and around the city, their mobile clinics. And each one of those people, we've been able to put a gospel or a tract, some form, in their hand. We've been able to preach the gospel. We have seen these Somali people come to faith in Jesus Christ. You've got close to 4 million Somalis, probably less than 500 believers in the whole country. And you know, I thought, you know, Jesus Christ died for the Somalis. How are they going to know? How are they ever going to hear unless we actually go and be there physically present and take the initiative and lift up Christ? And when I was in Bosnia back in March, went to a city by the name of Mostar. It looked like Mad Max country. It's a little picture of hell. And while I was there, this city was blown to pieces, and you came up over a ridge, and Mostar was down in a valley, and surrounding Mostar were the Serbian soldiers, and they were shelling the city every day. And this road had to zigzag down the side of the mountain to the valley floor. And as you go down the road, they would shoot at your car. And we had a truck with food that we were taking to Muslims that were refugees in the city. And when the truck got down to the bottom of the mountain, there were several bullet holes in the back of the truck where it had been hit. We didn't even know it. And before we unloaded the food, we decided we want to go by the government offices. The government office building had been blown up, completely gutted. And so the government offices had moved to a hotel. And we went to the hotel, and there's security soldiers all around. And we told them who we were and that we were wanting to see the Minister of Interior. And they said, well, go to the third floor. His office is there. And we went up to the third floor and knocked on the door. And the secretary invited us in and said, please be seated. The minister's not here right now, but he'll be in a few minutes, and he wants to see you. So we waited now about an hour. And after an hour, this thin, very small man came into the room. And he sat down across from me on a couch. Spoke perfect English, and he thanked me for coming. They started to shell the city. Mortar shells were bursting within 100 meters of the building we were in. And he just sat there, and I thought to myself, good grief, let's get out of here. Let's go to the basement, down to the bomb shelter. But he just sat there. He didn't move, so I thought, well, if he's going to sit here, I'll sit here. He said, Mr. Graham, he said, would you like to see a video? I thought, he's nuts. There's been one bomb too many on this city, and he's shell-shocked. No, sir, I haven't come, sir, to see a video. We brought food. And we've got a truck out here, and we were wanting to give it to these folks, and we'd kind of like to do it. It's getting late. And we just want to say hello. We're here just as a courtesy call so that you know who we are, and that's all. He said, Mr. Graham, I'd like for you to see this video. I said, sir, I'm sorry. We just don't have time to see it. He kind of sighed, and he hung his head, and he said, would you mind if I tell you what's on the video? You know, I thought, he's going to tell me anyway. Why do I have this feeling he's going to tell me anyway? So I might as well agree to it. I said, well, please, sir. Yes, I would like to know what's on the video. He said, Mr. Graham, is a 9-year-old girl being raped by a group of soldiers. They had a video camera, and they videoed their exploits. And we caught these men, and they had this video on them. Would you like to see the video? I said, no, sir. I want to sleep at night. I don't want to see that. Mr. Graham, I don't understand why men do these things. He said, after these men were through with her, they laughed. Why, Mr. Graham? I said, sir, I don't know. They brought the father in the room. And the girl was on the floor, and she was crying and all messed up. And they told the father to rape his own daughter. He refused, Mr. Graham, and they put a pistol in his mouth, and on the video, they blow the brains out the back of his head. And they laugh. Would you like to see this, Mr. Graham? No, sir, I don't want to see it. No, not at all. Said, Mr. Graham, they brought the brother in the room, and they saw his father on the floor, and they told him to rape his own sister, and he probably felt the only way he could save her life and his life was to obey. And he said, Mr. Graham, when the boy was through, they put the same pistol in his mouth, and they blew his brains out, and they laughed. He said, but Mr. Graham, I don't understand why they had to take the saw and they sawed her legs off and let her bleed to death. I tell you what, I'm a North Carolina redneck. And I tell you what, I was mad. I was ticked. I thought to myself, those stinking creeps. If I had the opportunity, I could blow their brains out and I wouldn't even flinch. I thought, those guys don't deserve to live. They're wicked. Wicked. They deserve to die. And you know what? After a few moments, I was mad. I was shaking after he told me that. But you know, I thought to myself, wait a second. Franklin Graham is a sinner. Franklin Graham deserves judgment. Franklin Graham deserves hell. Because Franklin Graham has broken God's law. I'm a lawbreaker. The Bible says we have all sinned, we have all come short of God's glory, and that the wages of sin, the penalty for breaking God's law is death. Franklin Graham deserves God's judgment. Why? Because I've broken God's law. And I thought about those men. Jesus Christ came to this earth to die on a cross. For the sins of the entire world. He died for those men that committed that crime. That's why Christ came. Christ is willing to forgive those men. Christ is willing to give them eternal life. If they're willing to repent, confess their sin, turn from their sin, and receive Christ by faith, God will forgive them. And I walked away determined, we're going to do something. We're going to come back. We're going to do more. We're not going to stop with this truckload of food. We're going to do more. We're going to keep coming back, and we're going to keep coming back. And we're going to take the initiative. We're going to take this opportunity so we can preach Christ. And I turned to my fellows and I said, you know what? We can't save that little girl's life. But there are other women here in this country that have been raped and have no place to go, that are alive out there, pregnant. Let's open up a home for these girls. We opened up a home, and a missionary couple by the name of John and Esther Fitzstevens are running it. We've got 11 girls, and I was there last Saturday this time. Got 11 girls over there. And we're loving them, caring for them, and taking the initiative to present Christ. And some of these girls have already put their faith and trust in Christ. And they're satisfied. Friends, what I want to just get across to you today, listen to you, men. God wants to use you. But you know, we've got to be willing to go places in life, to be physically present. And it's not always easy. And Satan is always wanting to get us sidetracked. Well, you've got your job, you've got your house payment, you've got car payment, and you're married now, and your kids have got to be educated, and, you know, don't make a move, wait till you retire, and then do something. He's always wanting us to put things off. But let me tell you something. For God to deal with sin, Jesus Christ had to be physically present here on this earth. He had to come down to this earth. God took the initiative. Christ's body was broken on the cross. He shed his blood. And friends, we've got to be willing to go in life, to be physically present, take that initiative so that we can present Jesus Christ, to present the gospel. And as we go through life preaching Christ, God's Holy Spirit draws men and women to himself. And they're satisfied as they come to Christ. And my question is to you, are you willing to do that in life? Are you willing to go to these places? Maybe here, he may call you right here in Orange County. He may take you halfway around the world, I don't know. But are you willing, no matter where he calls you, no matter what the price, no matter what the cost, are you willing to go? Are you willing to be physically present and take the initiative to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Will you do it? Are you willing to trust him? Are you willing to go? Life is short, friends, and this world is heading to hell quick. But God wants to use you. You know what? If we're going to do something for Jesus Christ, friends, you'd better do it now. The clock is ticking. And I believe if we're going to do anything for Jesus, we'd better do it now because we don't have much time left. It seems like Satan has pulled his gloves off. He's let every demon in hell out. He's making his last stand, his last run. And if we're going to do something, we'd better do it now. Are you willing to take the initiative? Are you willing to go? Are you willing to preach the gospel? Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for each man that's here. And Father, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Father, I pray that right now that they will just say in their heart, "Oh God, I have sinned. Forgive me. I'm sorry. Cleanse me. I'm sorry for my sin. I want to turn from my sin. And I want Christ to come into my life. And I want to live for Him." If there's anyone here today that doesn't know Christ, if you pray that prayer, God will forgive you. And you can have eternal life. And Father, for those men that are here that know your Son, that have put their faith and trust in Christ, if there's anyone here today that says, "Yes, God, I'll go. I'm willing. Use me. Here I am. Let me fight the battle. I'll go forward. I'll carry the gospel. I'll go to Bosnia. I'll go anywhere. I'll go to the streets of L.A. I'll go down to the toughest sections of the city. I'm not afraid. Send me. I'll go." Lord, I'll just pray right now, if there are men here today that are willing to do that, that you'll send them. Thank you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
While listening to this tape, perhaps God's Spirit has been talking to your heart. If you felt the need to draw closer to your Creator, why not start today? God has provided a way for man to enter into relationship with Him forever through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." The Bible says that as many as receive Him, to them give He power to become the children of God. You too can receive Him right now by asking Him to forgive you of your sins and asking Him to come into your life and to be Lord and Savior of your life. If you'd like to receive Jesus Christ into your life today, you can do so through a simple little prayer. Just open up your heart and repeat this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I admit to you that I am a sinner. I believe that you died on a cross for my sins. Please forgive me of all of my sins. Please come into my heart and into my life. Please make my life acceptable unto you. And thank you, Lord, for your gift of eternal life. And I receive you this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me right now, you are a new person. All your past sins and faults have been forgiven by God, and in His eyes you are a brand new creature. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. Now, as a newborn spiritual infant, you should seek the sincere milk of God's Word so that you may grow by it. So read your Bible and pray to the Lord often, and seek out other Christians and enter into fellowship with them. We'd love to hear of your decision for Christ, and we'd love to give you a free study of the book of John on cassette by Pastor Chuck Smith. Jesus never turned a spiritual or hungry or thirsty soul away, but filled everyone who asked. So we'd like to do the same for you in His name. So please write to us at the address on this tape and tell us of your needs and what the Lord has done for you today. May the Lord bless you now and keep you in everything you do and everything you say. And welcome to the family.
Open our eyes. Bye.